is the new theme song rolling. All right, all right, all right, all right. Welcome.
Bro, that is tasty.
Hey, thank you to the it's Upbeat. I'll make sure I shout out the artist probably at the end of the episode when I get his name down. But shout out to Upbeat giving us that perfect intro. Pecan Pie Beats, I think it is, on Upbeat. Four creators, shout out for the theme song. We really appreciate it. And really appreciate the support of all you fans keeping up to date with us. We're keeping up to date with you, keeping you up to date with the NBA playoffs. We said we're going to do it. We said we're going to be here every day giving you breakdowns of what's going on. The first batch of game twos were today. The boys are excited, ready to break it down. I'm awfully happy. You know, today nothing was going to ruin my mood. I said it when I woke up. I went, you know what? 25 years old today, nothing can ruin my mood. And even though the Lakers lost, listen, I gave up hope. If you listen to episode 23, I said it. No, I don't care, bro. I'm here to watch the playoffs. I'm here to be in a good mood. 25 years old, 25 reasons to be happy. Fellas, how are you guys doing?
Yeah, well, 25 reasons to be... Oh, sorry, I was going to say 25 reasons to be happy, one reason to be unhappy. It's still a shame they lost the 20-point lead. But
glad I was hoping it would be 25. To be fair, I was hoping it would be 25. Would have given me the perfect segue into this episode. Oh, they honored me my 25th birthday by blowing a 25-point lead.
Yeah, I was expecting that. I was driving home and I thought they had the game in the bag. They get home and I get a notification, Jamal Murray game winner. I'm like, tough. But yeah, it's the way life goes. Although the Lakers are going to be out soon, you can rest easy knowing you can hate on the Thunder for as long as they stay in it. So there you go.
No, no, that's probably the only optimism.
The Thunder won by two without their best player.
What?
At home. Oh.
Yeah, Thunder also played terribly and Shea played good. So, you know.
Hey, but what did I say before the playoffs, bro? I said, if I'm any team playing them, I'm like, bro, let Shea go off and I'll stop everyone else. And we'll see how long it keeps going. But We'll keep a focus on today's games mainly. I mean, the winners, got to give them the credit. I think it's all home teams won yet again. So we had the Nuggets win, obviously, with the buzzer beater. Then we had the Knicks win over Philly, a three-point win there. And then the Cavaliers in the series, I think many people just really don't care about the Cavs versus the Magic, a series I think that's going to depress a lot of people. Yeah, so all three home teams win yet again, home court advantage proving to be massive advantage. But let's start off with it's the main event, guys. It's the defending champions, it's the Los Angeles Lakers. Jamal Murray, I think that's his first playoff buzzer beater. I'm pretty sure he may have had one in the regular season. In the playoffs, I'm pretty sure it's the first one. Carries the Nuggets over the Lakers for a 10th straight time. Looking at it, it's not happening, brother. It's really not. Winning four out of six games was going to be tough enough. Winning four out of five games, you're not going to do that. The only thing now, just don't make it a sweep. We just want to see a competitive series. Just don't make it a sweep.
But you say that, but then, like, they've got two home games coming up and they've shown that they can build a big lead against the Nuggets. I wouldn't count them out completely. I'd say the odds are definitely completely, like, they're well and truly stacked against them. But I'd say this year compared to last year, they'll probably put themselves in better position to win games than they did in the series last year. With two games coming up in LA, I wouldn't count them out. I would love to, I want to see them lose so I get the $100 that you owe me from this, if they do lose, but I wouldn't count them out. Like, good, you got to take the good, but those are the games you got to win. On the road, you know, up 20, you've got to win those.
The one thing you can take away from this is Anthony Davis has been playing great. Like, if D'Lo stepped up in the first game or whatever, one of those other guys stepped up in the first game, Lakers could have easily walked away with both of these games, but the Denver 5 is, you know, crunch time that they're hard to stop, and their defense is unreal. So, yeah.
I was like, when I did the episode yesterday, and if you go to TikTok, word for word, in my breakdown of this game when I was predicting it, I said, the Lakers won't lose by double digits again. It will be a close game. It will come down to the last 5 minutes, and they will get out-executed by the Denver Nuggets. Ladies and gentlemen, please go watch the last 5 minutes of that game and see what the Denver Nuggets did. Just out-executed the Lakers. The Lakers did a good job. They ran the Spain pick and roll, got them two buckets. I think they got a LeBron layup. They got a D'Lo layup. But then the other, I think, three, four positions that they had, ended up in, you had a LeBron open three, LeBron misses that. It's like, okay, that's, hey, bro, you need to, in that situation, you probably need to make that. Michael Porter Jr. gets the offensive rebound. They come down, they score. It's, you know, it's the game. But for the Lakers, it's, that's a tough loss. And I remember someone a couple of years ago, I think it was JJ Redick, maybe it was someone else, but I remember what they said was, in the playoffs, all losses are not made the same. All losses are not made the same. If you get blown up by 20, last 5 minutes, bro, you've moved on from that because you're like, bro, last five, bro, we're down by 20. We'll move on to next game. We'll start rebuilding already when we're on the bench. When you play as well as the Lakers did, you put everything. You were up by 20. You blow a 20-point lead. And even at the end of the game, after you blew a 20-point lead, you were in it. You were about to win. You put everything. Like, this was the game. And you lose to a buzzer beater like that. I think that's far, far more demoralizing than a 20-point loss. And that's why, for me, I think this is, for them, this loss is far more damaging. You rather would have got blown up by 20 because you would have known this is a terrible loss, man.
Well, I think it comes down to, like, in a seven-game series, the team that's going to win is the team that can execute the close games. Like, you're going to get series where a team wins by 20 one night, and then another team will have, like, big wins will happen, but it's the team that can win those clutch games where it's the scores within five with 5 minutes to go. The teams that win those games, they'll go the furthest, which sounds a bit stupid, but that's just what you have to do. You have to execute.
That's the biggest worry with the Celtics. You know, there's
and the Timberwolves. The Timberwolves are going to be shocking for it.
Yeah, because Rudy Gobert can't have him on the court.
Yeah, because the Lakers have put themselves in a tough spot because watching that first half, you look at it, you go, man, the Lakers are playing so well. But same thing as game one. Game one, LeBron and AD played out of this world first half. Bro, I knew that wasn't sustainable. I knew second half because there was no one else there. I knew second half that wasn't going to be sustainable. Lo and behold, what happened? And you see, both games, it's been the second half. The first half of game one, they had 60 points. The first half of this game here, they had 59 points. How many points they have in the second half of game one? Like 40? How many points they have in the second half of today? 44? Meanwhile, the Nuggets there claw themselves back. They get defensive stops. And Trey was speaking about it before we came on air and went live. In the fourth quarter, how was the guy who had, 30-something points? How was he taking no shots in the fourth quarter? He's clearly shown that no one on the Nuggets can guard him in the game. Why are you not going to him? And it feels as though the Lakers go away from the actions that made them successful in times of pressure. And that's what it always happens. That's the saying, right? Pressure makes diamonds or it bursts pipes. And for the Lakers, it seems as though when they can't score.
I've never heard the second part of that saying.
Hey, it does. It does. Hey, it does, man.
As a Laker fan, it makes sense that you know that part to it.
Exactly. And for the Lakers, when they come under these pressure times, bro, it bursts, they start to panic. And that's the thing. How is a team that's down 20 points more composed than the team that's up 20? And then slowly but surely, as it goes down from 20 to 15 to 10 to 5 to tie game, you just see crumble, crumble, crumble. Game over, down 2-0.
To be fair, that Denver crowd, man, they were going crazy. You know, I think they went on their 11-0 run. Holy, call a timeout, man. Those guys were. And then MPJ 3 to tie it up at the end there. Holy.
And when you've got Darvin Ham saying he doesn't know what to do.
That's broken. He's broken him.
That's what I said, bro. It's demoralizing. It's so demoralizing because they put everything into this. They thought they had it up 20 and then to come back even at the end and be up. This is so demoralizing that I think the Lakers initially probably were not going to get swept. I still don't think they'll get swept. I think they can get one game at least. But if it was going to be 4-2, I think that 4-2, the 4-2 ship has sailed. I think they'll be too demoralized to get two games. In LA, I know people obviously want to say, oh, yeah, they're going home. Bro, the Denver Nuggets beat them every single time they played them at home in the regular season. The Denver Nuggets beat them in LA, same thing, in the playoffs last season. What have the Lakers shown that they can defend home court against the Nuggets? Nothing. They can do it against everyone else, but they certainly cannot do it against the Nuggets. And the thing with the Nuggets, Mike Malone, I don't know, he must have a personal vendetta against the Lakers because he always makes sure that they play much, much harder in LA. So you probably expect the same game through as last year where the refs tried to rob the Nuggets, is what I would say.
I love what Shaq said after the game. He was like, they pretty much gave Jokic that triple-double. Like, his team wasn't shooting well at all when they were down 20. All of a sudden, you start double-teaming Jokic, arguably the best passer in the league. He's going to find the open person, and they got them in a rhythm. Jokic put up these historic lines. Man, you pretty much gave him the triple-double. Lakers.
It's tough sledding for the Lakers, man. To lose to someone 10 straight times, that's crazy.
The Nuggets are also lucky they've got a player like Jamal Murray, who is someone who just elevates in the playoffs.
He's got the biggest elevation in NBA history. The difference between NBA regular season and playoffs. He's got the biggest increase in stats.
And then, like, I feel like all, like, this team's, like, that's what the Knicks have, and Josh Hart as well. Josh Hart's elevating them. Well, he's showing up in the big moments and kind of
stay wide open.
Yeah, but still, like, you need players to deliver.
But it's tough. It's a big hill to climb. I don't know what you can do if you're LA. You really can't do anything. But shout out Canada, man. You've got two Canadians cooking LA people this week, man. You've got Drake out here cooking Kendrick Lamar in the rap battles. And then now you've got Jamal Murray cooking the Los Angeles Lakers. Canada, bro. You guys sleeping on Canada. Canada keeps beating the brakes off LA and America. And Jamal Murray, he's showing that, bro, if he was to ever be healthy for a full regular season, not only could he be an all-star, he could potentially be an all-NBA player. You know, but obviously he's just been a little bit unlucky with the injuries in the regular season. But come playoff time, brother, he's big time.
Yeah, I just want to check.
Speaking of Canada, does Jamal Murray's game winner not remind you of Game 7, 2019? Against
low key.
The crowd.
Same spot, kind of.
Yeah. The crowd, the commentators. Deja vu.
Yeah. Just to take you back to what you said before, what could the Lakers do? Win more games in the regular season and don't face the second seed in the first round. That's what you can do. But, you know, come on, like, at some point, you know, you can't sit there and be like, well, the Lakers, they're not winning the series, but they shouldn't have to beat the defending champions in the first round. Like, I feel like they are going to lose the series because they are the worst team and they put themselves in the worst position at this point in the season. And the only people they have to blame are themselves.
No, but I don't think that matters. Like, I know what you mean, but at some point in time, to get to the finals, they were going to have to beat the Nuggets. And no matter if they played the Nuggets in the first round, second round, or conference finals, they were going to lose the Nuggets every time. So I feel like it's probably better that we're just getting to the point sooner than instead of delaying the inevitable. Because remember last season when we got to conference finals, we were like, oh man, the Lakers, they got it. After we saw the sweep, we went, okay. Yeah. Then we saw the regular season sweep, we went, okay. Now we're in this series right now. I feel like whether or not this series was now, second round of conference finals, we were going to get the same result, which is the Nuggets are just the better team.
I disagree for the simple fact that if you look at those teams, the Miami Heat and the Los Angeles Lakers last year, how much better they got as the series went on. I think that's one thing you have to take into account. Like the postseason is like a season in itself. Like the team, all the teams start, like you kind of seed, you like develop, you work out your rotations and stuff. But as each series goes on, each team elevates their game, each team gets better. And it's normally the teams that improve the most over that span that go on to win the championship. So like, I do agree with you, to some degree, but I also think that giving yourself the higher seed gives you a better chance to reach that top level that you need to win a championship.
But the Lakers, in my opinion, there's nothing that they can really do to beat this team. Like, there's, even if they play to a better level offensively, defensively, that's where the lapses are. I think it's just
you don't reckon if they had two more series under their belt, they wouldn't have lost that game today. They wouldn't have had a better chance to win that game today.
Maybe
they wouldn't have been
I'm not thinking about just the game. I'm thinking maybe they would have won the game, but overall as a series, they wouldn't win the series because I just don't see what they can do over a 7-game series if they had more games, more experience, more things. There's nothing really I can see that they can do differently because they've tried everything. They've tried to let everyone else beat them and shut down Jokic and Jamal Murray. Hasn't worked. Then they've tried the vice versa. It hasn't worked. They've tried everything. And I feel you tried everything last year. You tried to adjust in the regular season, tried different things, didn't work. You're trying it now, first two games. It worked in patches, but you did all of that and you still lost. And I just don't think with more time, it would have changed the outcome.
It's even more demoralizing how all the players claim they were ducking no smoke when it comes to playing the Denver Nuggets.
Sometimes in life, what is it? People never want to dodge the smoke, brother. Sometimes what you want most can kill you and can burn
Stay
you.
Low. Stay away.
Stay away. Hey, I remember a coach, bro. He said we were facing this team one time, Fraser, really good team. They were probably the best team, one of the best teams in the country. And the quote that he used before the game was, "How hot is a fire? You don't know how hot is it until you touch it." Brother, we lost that game by 25 points. That fire was fucking hot. just like this Lakers team, just like this Denver Nuggets team is hot. The Lakers have touched the fire 10 times. They've been burnt 10 times. At this point in time, they're getting freaking third degree, second degree, first degree burns. It's time for you to put the gloves on, the strong mittens. It's time for you to get the hose that the firefighters have, spray the fire and say, that fire is not one that I want to touch. It's not smoke that I need. Dodge the smoke. You tried to have all the smoke. You tried to go. It's not happening, brother. Tap out. It's over.
Yeah. Fair call. But there was also the chance that another team could have beaten the Nuggets. That's true.
Yeah, that's true. And it's to be seen. We shall see if someone else can get there. Maybe the Timberwolves, the Suns, the Clippers, the Mavs, someone can in the semifinals.
My opinion, the only team I can see beating them is the T-Wolves. The reality.
Not the Clippers?
Mate, need Kawhi. If they've got a healthy Kawhi, maybe.
Bro, they had no Kawhi.
On game one Harden. Wait till game two collapses.
They had no Harden and they beat the Dallas Mavericks with Daniel Gafford playing.
But
Harden was playing. What are you talking about?
Bro, they had Gafford.
But let's just continue with today's games. So also the other game on the slate, one that also came down to the wire, the Knicks and the 76ers. The Knicks managed to steal one. Another one they managed to steal, in my opinion. Last 45 seconds. 76ers up by 5 points, 101-96. I'm thinking, yo, GG's, the game is done. And then all of a sudden, Brunson hits a three. And then on the inbounds, Kyle Lowry turns it over. Goes, tries to pass it to Maxi. Ball, loose ball scramble. Dante DiVincenzo hits a three. And you get GG'd. You try to score on the other end. Tyrese Maxi gets pinned by, what's his name? The guy who all recently found out is black, Isaiah Hartenstein. And then they get the rebound. And Anunoby hits two free throws. They win the game. Tyrese Maxey throws the ball at Embiid. What are you doing to shoot the ball, bro? Embiid shoots the ball, bricks it, game over. Tough loss.
How was Josh Hart the best rebounder on the court?
Josh Hart, man. The guy's just got hustle. He's got heart. What's he call it? Grit and grind.
All those guys let the ball come to them. Josh Hart is the only one that actually goes and gets the ball. Like,
he wants to stay in the league, man.
Someone needs to turn around and box out Josh Hart so they're not getting these 7 offensive rebounds a game or whatever he's getting. Like,
bro, that's knowing your role.
You know your role and man knows his role, he knows his lane, and he delivers.
But one of these guys on the 76ers surely has a role to box out Josh Hart. It will say on the scouting report, this guy is a hustler.
Tell Tobias Harris and Kelly Oubre to box someone out. Tell Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield, do you want to box someone out, bro? Please, someone show me footage. I don't think I've ever seen Buddy Hield box out in my life. I've never actually seen it. This is footage that is not on the internet.
Second playoff game was today.
Damn, it's tough. It is tough. But I feel like the 76ers have played, even though a lot of people are roasting Joel Embiid on social media right now, him saying that we deserved to win these two games. I feel like he's right. They've just let both of these games in the last 2 minutes, they've sort of let them slip away, particularly today's one. But both games, they've been in the driver's seat. They've been in pole position, ready to take the game. And both times they've let it slip from their grasp. I'm like, bro, you guys have played excellent defense on, what's his name, Jalen Brunson. Jalen Brunson's what? He's made 16 shots. Bro, it's like 16 of 55 over the first two games. Played actually really good defense on him. Oubre and Tobias Harris, that size is causing him problems. They're playing excellently. It's just that the fact that Josh Hart is hitting threes. Josh Hart, by the way, I anticipated was going to have a terrible game too. I was shut up by that one. He had another double-double. But Miles McBride, I said he was going to come back to earth, which he did. But bro, like, you play excellent defense. It's just the non-Joel Embiid minutes and then your execution in the clutch. You guys just need to be just better and more responsible with the ball, you know? You give this game away. I think they really gave this game away for no reason. Absolutely no reason.
Maxi's been playing good too. Both games. He's been playing well.
100%. 100%. Got to give Maxi credit. I think both games he's been 30+. I think first game was 33, second game 35. And then Embiid, I think first game might have been over 30, but today he was definitely over 30 as well.
32 or something.
Yeah. So I know the Knicks fans still in the streets yelling Knicks in four. Please stop. Please, you're actually starting to give me an aneurysm. You're not winning the series in four. No chance whatsoever. But I think Philly, I genuinely, people can call me delusional. I think Philly is the better team, 100%. And I think Philly will win the series. I'm still very confident in that prediction that Philly will win the series. It's just that there's a few little small bits in the games that they need to just iron up, shore up, and then I think they'll win the games. I think both games in Philly, I think game three, definitely, quote me on this, you can, yeah, if I'm wrong, let me know. I think they'll blow them out. I think they'll blow, the Philly will blow the Knicks out game three.
The only thing that's going to blow it out,
they'll win.
What's that?
I was going to say, the only thing getting blown out in game three is Joel Embiid's knee.
I was going to say, if Joel Embiid jumps for a rebound, they might win. With Josh Hart, bro, fucking annoys me watching that guy just run in and grab the ball.
Joel Embiid, I want you to play below the rim. Episode 23, hey, man, I said Joel Embiid, play below the rim. I don't want to see you jump. We don't need you to jump, Joel. We just need you under the rim. Just do your thing. We don't need you to be crazy athletic. Just, bro, use your size, use your mid-range jumper, play off the pick and roll with Maxi. We don't need dunks.
The Knicks do so well with Hartenstein and Mitchell Robinson guarding Embiid, though. They make him work.
They're doing a good job making him work. I think, yeah, he's definitely having to work for the points. I think both games still he was 30, but he's definitely having to put in a little bit more of a shift.
Mm. He's shot like 30 shots both games or whatever. Joel Embiid's gonna get points regardless.
Man, Tobias Harris, you're really playing for a contract right now, man.
He's playing for the other team, the New York Knicks, by the way.
How about Nick Batum getting 33 minutes off the bench? That's wild.
I think that's a good move because I think that comes back to, yeah, what I was saying with Jalen Brunson. I think they want to keep a big body on Jalen Brunson at all times with Kelly Oubre, Tobias Harris, and Nick Batum. So I think those three defenders have really caused them some problems. It just comes down to, how are you going to execute how are you going to manage the misses? Because offensive rebounds, you can't give up second position. You can't give up second chance points or second positions. You can't do that. No way. So you're playing this good defense. Give up an offensive rebound, bro. You put yourself in trouble for no reason. So I like Batum. I really do like the Batum move. But actually, credit to Batum. How is he? 34, 35 now? And he's still able to move the way he is? I thought... Initially, what game was it? The play-in game against the Miami Heat. I thought he was going to have a lot of problems when he came in with Butler and Hero, but he was actually the savior. He was playing incredible defense. Same thing this series. I think he's doing a good job. All three of them are doing a good job. It just comes down to just small details. If they can execute those details, shore up those finer details, and just be more disciplined, I think they can not only just beat the Knicks, I think they can blow the Knicks out in some of these games. On spinning. Yeah. On spinning goes. But damn, a lot of minutes. Bro, Tyrese Maxey, 44 minutes. Josh Hart, 48 minutes. Tom Thibodeau wants another play to tear his ACL in the playoffs. That's what he wants.
Was this after Josh Hart said the NBA was soft for voting Tom Thibodeau as what the harshest coach in the NBA.
The coach that everyone least wanted to play for. But Josh Hart clearly was to play for it because he's on the court for 48 minutes. I'm like, bro, come on, give the guy a rest.
Him saying she said he wants to play more minutes.
Crazy. What's the name? Did you say that Dante DiVincenzo missed out on being eligible for most improved because he didn't get enough minutes in enough games? And that is purely just because Thibodeau played everyone else before him. I just thought that was hilarious.
Tibbs, eh? Tibbs. Four. Tibbs, Tibbs, Tibbs. But I still have faith in the 76ers. I'm still calling 76ers in six. So count me in. I'm on the wagon. I love the 76ers. I love Chef Boyardee, Joel Embiid, and he'll bring the flag home. But looking at the series that I just don't even really care. I genuinely don't care about the series, but we have to talk about it. The Cavs and the Magic. The Orlando Magic put up 83 points in a playoff game. Come on, bro. You put up the first game. How many points was it? 86?
86 today.
Oh, my God. And in game one, it was 93 or 83. I'm like, dude.
I was 83, so yeah.
You guys are depressing us. Like, bro, these guys just have, they are horrendous offensively, man. This is the playoffs. And you got a team here that is just looks, they just don't have anything offensively. I mean, because what I said in last episode was that they have no one to pull Mobley and Jarrett Allen away from the basket. And because they've got no one to pull those two away from the basket, they are constantly attacking the paint with a wall and lots of size in there. And for a team that relies on getting to the basket, scoring inside, you're going against two twin towers. You're trying to score in two twin towers consistently. Brother, that's not going to happen. It's just too difficult. You need someone to pull away those guys so that it opens the lanes for Franz Wagner, Banchero to get to the basket. And it's just not happening. They've got no one to do that. So when they get into the room, when they're getting in close, contested shots every single time. And it just reminds me. They remind me of that very same team that they're playing, but that very same team that they're playing's version of last year. The Cavs from last year, where they had no shooting. What did they do? They went out and got shooting. This team, they're just going to have to lose the series, and free agency is going to be your opportunity to get the guys that you need, because this series, it's, brother, GG's.
Yeah. Good to see Mobley has shot four threes in both games. So he's spacing the floor for the Cavs too, which
got a nice
which is
25
what we've been wanting to see. Huh?
To go along with Donovan Mitchell's 2-for-10.
Yeah, but spacing the floor, their defense looks amazing. To allow only no more than 86 points in the first two games, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I think their defense is really going to struggle, though. This, I think we all can agree. I think they're probably going to win this series. Obviously, we're going back to Orlando, but even if Orlando in the unlikely scenario was to grab both games, I still think Cleveland would win the series at some point in time. But if they play the Celtics, which they're probably on track to do, bro, the Celtics will beat the shit out of them, because Paul Zingas is going to pull Jarrett Allen away from the basket. Mobley's going to have to guard Jason Tatum. Bro, it's got to be blow by Central. And if it's not blow by Central, they can still hit the three ball. I think they can win that series. The Celtics win that series pretty easily. But they look really good defensively, in my opinion, right now, just because of the matchup. I think the matchup really favors them, because all of their strengths defensively, the Magic playing right into it because of the inability to shoot. And that's just going to let them down. They can't fix it during the series, and it's going to let them down ultimately, in my opinion.
Celtics also settle for so many threes.
Mm.
Jared Allen get quicker feet. It might be better.
Oh, Jared Allen. But they're looking good, man. I mean, look, you've got to take care of what's in front of you. You've got to beat who's in front of you. Obviously, they've got a little bit blessed there. So now it comes back to that final game of the regular season. Was it when they subbed the starters out or something because they wanted to play the Magic, and everyone was saying, oh, yeah, they're going to regret that. Well, guess they don't regret that now, do they? Because this is looking like it's a pretty easy matchup for them, and they're taking care of business, which is what I like to see, man. Don't play with your food. If you can take care of business quickly in a series, do it. Get out healthy. Give yourself extra time to rest up for the next series. And they're doing that right now. Donovan Mitchell, very surprising. I thought he would be a little bit, you know, slow to the party, get himself adjusted, because obviously he missed a lot of games at the end of the regular season. Even in the games that he did play, he was a little bit rusty. He didn't look like he was 100% himself. But he's come out first two games here. I think he's performed pretty well for someone who didn't get the opportunity to get himself into the rhythm that he probably would have wanted to. But excellent job by the Cavaliers. Two straight wins, two dominant wins, in my opinion.
Do you think Donovan's? He's definitely back to his old self. 23 points on 22 shots. So he's definitely found his normal rhythm.
Oh, come on. Don't do that to D. Mitchell.
He shot 9 of 22. That's not the worst in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah, us freaking Jalen Brunson.
I wasn't criticizing him too hard, but Donovan Mitchell does love
it. You always go to the shorter teams. That's not that bad for playoffs.
Donovan Mitchell does love equal shot attempts to points scored.
Come on, and Westbrook has never shot 4 for 25 or something.
Bro, I just reckon Donovan Mitchell's a way worse version.
Oh my god. Tell everyone how much you hate him, Jed. Go on.
Shout out, Donovan.
I hate him as much as the Wizards hate winning.
But yeah, real quick, we also wanted to touch on the Athletic poll that came out. The players voted on a lot of different categories. We're probably going to just focus on the key ones here today. We'll probably maybe give a little bit more shout out to the other ones, but today we'll focus on the main ones. First one, who's the MVP? A lot closer than probably a lot of people would have thought. You had Nikola Jokic first with 41.8% of the vote. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, not too far away, 36.9%. So only 4.9% behind. Luka way down at 9.9%. So I think a lot of people put value into SGA, not only the play that he had, but also being the number one seed. Maybe that drove him being as close to Jokic as he was. What's your thoughts? I think they got it right. I think Jokic is the MVP, but interested to see what everyone else thinks.
Yeah, I think with Shai, he definitely deserves all his flowers. Like, you got to remember how far this team has come and how there's a reason why people doubt them so much in the playoffs, because of the amount of inexperience they have and because the amount of like unproven talent they have. So like the fact that he could elevate them in the regular season to the number one seed, I think definitely deserves that credit. Everyone knew that Jokic was going to come out on top, but to see how close it was, I think that just shows how much respect and awareness there is around the league for how much Shai has done this last season.
Surely that has to start dropping now since they got the whole crowd barking at the players.
That was so cringe.
That was the hardest watch I've ever seen in my life.
Bro, it makes me cringe a little bit.
But other players in the top five, you had Doncic with 9.9, Tatum with 4.3, Giannis with 1.4, Donovan Mitchell, surprisingly, also with 1.4. I don't know. The Donovan Mitchell one surprised me. I don't know what you guys are watching. Maybe you guys watched the first 2 weeks of the
probably all of his teammates. I bet you'll be all of his teammates or some shit.
But to get to 1.4, I'm like, damn. But I mean, yeah.
I can tell you who definitely wasn't voting for Donovan Mitchell.
Who?
Rudy Gobert.
Bingo. Speaking of Rudy Gobert, he was in who's the best defender, but he wasn't even close to being the best defender. He was sixth on that list. He wasn't even voted the best defender on his own team. Jaden McDaniels was the one who got the honor of being the highest ranked Timberwolf with 8.3% of the vote. Number one on that list, I think very easy for everyone, Victor Wembanyama, 15.2%. Second place, Drew Holiday, 12.9%. Lou Dort running out the top three with 9.8%. I think that's a very easy one. We've all seen the plays where guys are driving to the basket, they see who's under the rim, and they pull back dribble, get outside the perimeter, and reset the play because they're afraid. I think it's very obvious who the best is.
Also, shout out Lou Dort. I feel like
Dort came right.
And he was probably like, he was key for the Thunder in that win in game one. Drawing that charge late in the game, really, huge. Definitely.
He's built like a brick shit house, eh?
Bro, yeah. He's like I was going to say like a more built Desmond Bane, but Desmond Bane is the definition of a brick shit house.
Yeah, he's a brick house. He's a big boy. But Wemby, rightfully so, number one. Gobert, if you're a guy that's, I think a lot of people obviously would have voted that way. If you're a guy that we've played you before, we've seen you get played off the court in some situations, it makes sense that he was going to be down at 6%. This is not going to be the last feature for Rudy Gobert on these lists, by the way. But Wembanyama also features again down the list. He's also number one on another category, which is pretty obvious. Who you're building a roster from scratch, who are you going to sign first? Obviously, actually wasn't even majority. Him and Nikola Jokic only separated by 0.7%. Victor Wembanyama with 27.9, Jokic with 27.2, and Anthony Edwards running out the top three with 10.3, higher than Luka and SGA. Very interesting there.
Anthony Edwards, that shocks me. I would go Luka.
Yeah.
A long march. Like, because it's so unproven. Like, well, it's proven to a certain degree, but, you know, Luka, everyone already thinks of him as a Hall of Famer. Nowhere near close to that with Edwards.
Remember, Luka at age 22 was first team All-NBA. Anthony Edwards, as good of a season as he had this season at age 22, will be All-NBA second team. And he wasn't averaging as many points, rebounds, assists as Luka.
What All-NBA third team? Like,
yeah, exactly. It's not
I'd probably
a guarantee.
More likely third team.
Yeah, it's not a guarantee he's going to be first team. Or second team.
Yeah, there is a scenario where he misses out on all three. Unlikely, but there is a scenario.
So I'm surprised by that. Only 3 years of difference and you guys are... I don't know. I thought it would have been easily. Well, not easily. I would have said, in my opinion, if I did it, I would have had Wemby, Jokic, Luka, or Luka, Jokic. You can switch them out. But I think number one is very obvious to everyone.
I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, you're just talking about Ant. Yeah. Well, I can see the hype behind Ant. He is, he's like a five level scorer. He can shoot threes. He can post up. He can shoot middies like Kevin Durant. He can score around the basket. He can defend. What can he do? He's like the perfect NBA player.
People would say that about Tatum, and like, look how far that gets you.
Not really.
What do you mean?
I feel like Anthony Edwards is a more well-rounded player than Tatum. Decision-making was.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like it's pretty closer than you'd imagine. But on this topic, though, historically, these polls come out every year, and it's like the team's GMs would choose, the team's players would choose, and historically, they haven't been that accurate to what's been the best players. Like, remember back in the day when it was Wiggins, Karl-Anthony Towns, like, all these young guns that come through, as soon as they have one or two good years, they get thrown into the top of these lists, and then their careers don't always pan out the way we think. So,
and funny how they're all Timberwolves players. Oh, funny how it's always Timberwolves players. Cat.
Well, let's not make it three in a row.
Yeah, exactly. I think he'll probably buck the trend there. But let us go to the league's most overrated player. Who does everyone think?
Yeah, Rudy Gobert.
Indeed. It is Rudy Gobert, wins by 5%. Second place, Jordan Poole, 8.6. Trae Young, 7.4. In third place, I think this was a very easy one. I think a lot of players in the league are open about it. I think Draymond Green is probably the most open. There's a few others, I think, who have been a little bit open about it too. I'm trying to remember off the top of my head. But they all think that he's overrated defensively. And I think because he's got such a massive contract, he's got probably, that expectation and not really much of an offensive game. So,
It's crazy because not one play on the Timberwolves, like Buck or whatever, is for Rudy Gobert. Rudy Gobert scores all his points off offensive rebounds or just he's wide open.
Yeah. And it made sense. I saw it. I went, that makes sense. He'll be most overrated. And in the comments, everyone was flaming on Instagram. Yeah. Everyone was like, that's fact. I'm like, oh, man, it's tough. Rudy Gobert is probably going to be the most hated four-time Defensive Player of the Year Hall of Fame of all time, easily.
Trae Young needs to be higher, too, I think. I think he is highly overrated.
No, I don't think so. I think Trae Young is rated. I think he's slightly maybe, but I think he's been to the conference finals as the guy. I think if you made the conference finals as the guy, I think you deserve a pass.
But since then, what has he done?
That's true. But I'm just saying, I feel like you deserve a pass. I know it's been 3 years since they did it, but still, I just believe you deserve a pass.
It's the same team, pretty much.
Every now and then, one team slips through. I can think of four teams off the top of my head that have just slipped through the conference finals.
And, Miami.
The 2023 Los Angeles Lakers come to mind.
The Los Angeles Lakers. You've got the Portland Trailblazers. You've got the Dallas Mavericks. You've got the Atlanta Hawks. You know, like every now and again, a team slips through.
Yeah.
And yeah.
But
that's all I've got.
And then another one. This is a bit of a fun one. I think he's number one for probably the third consecutive year. I think player in the league you'd least like to fight. James Johnson. MMA.
Even in the league, bro, does he even play?
Well, he's there for security purposes, man. Because if anyone wants to try fight Tyrese Haliburton and try to get some balls from from back in the locker room, he's there. He's there to stop you. You ain't coming to the tunnel this time, buddy. So yeah. But I'm surprised. Isaiah Stewart in third place. Isaiah Stewart, all you did was cheap shot Drew Eubanks. Why are you third place? I didn't know that.
Who's second?
Stephen Adams, Aquaman.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I was gonna say,
he is that list.
Yeah, I think out of everyone, Stephen Adams is the last person I want to fight.
Yeah.
Stephen Adams would fight you, not break a sweat, not say a single word, and just walk away. It would be like
it'd be the most frustrating fight because I don't even think you'd get angry. He'd just fuck you up, and then
Right, it would be the most confusing. It'd be the most confusing 5 seconds of your life.
Yeah. I'm very surprised that Miles Bridges is not here, but, you know, maybe.
Or Kim Porter Jr.
Yeah. Some real good fighters there. But, yeah, that's some fun ones. So, we'll go into... Actually, we'll do one more. The GOAT. It's getting a little bit closer year by year. It's starting to get a little bit closer. I remember a couple of years ago, it was about 12%. Now it's only down to 3.8%. Michael Jordan, number one, 45.9. King James, LeBron, 42.1. And then Kobe Bryant, RIP, running up the top three with 9.8. So, geez, buddy.
How many votes did Paul George get?
No. You got the right name there, Paul. But Paul Pierce. Why the hell is Paul Pierce in fifth place with 0.8%? Paul Pierce. Hey, brother, respect Paul Pierce. You had a hell of a career.
That means more than one player
of all time? No.
More than one player voted for him to get 0.8.
Someone did that as a piss take. Oh, God.
Yeah. 133 people voted. So he got 0.8 of that, which is about, what, 2 or 1? Bro, if you voted for Paul Pierce, please get drug tested. I think it was probably Jason Tatum. He was like, I want to, vote for, probably him. But yeah, LeBron catching up to Michael Jordan, man. I think that LeBron is the GOAT, but people would disagree. We won't get into that discussion today. We won't get into that discussion, but very interesting to see that gap's closing. Maybe it's the longevity was starting to pay off and starting to push him up there.
Yeah. It's because LeBron hasn't been dodging the smoke. He's got a few first-round exits, so he's starting to get on Jordan's level.
He's got one. Don't try to do that. Yeah, it's about to be two, but it's one. It's one right now. Let's not say he's got as many as Jordan. Jordan's got 3 or 4, brother. Come on.
Jordan didn't need the play-in.
Hey, Jordan also won 39 games and made the first round. So there you go.
That is wild. You know,
32 games, wasn't it?
Yeah, I just edited this, bro. Jordan, bro. These people, Jordan stands, come at me, brother. I'm ready to.
32 and 50 made the playoffs.
Wild side note that I'm pretty sure the Sacramento Kings won the same amount, if not like one or two different amount of games this year than they did last year. And what last year they were the second seed, this year they're the third seed.
I actually said that 3 episodes ago when you guys all roasted them. I said that they won 44 games. Oh, sorry, 46 games this year or last year, and then two difference. So, how about you pay attention next time I'm speaking? but yeah, good poll. thank you to the fans. Sorry, the players that voted. Some of you were wrong, especially those who voted for Paul Pierce. I still respect Paul Pierce, though. But yeah, I made my predictions yesterday for the game twos for tomorrow. Let me just give you a refresher. It is the Suns Timberwolves first game, and then you've got Pacers versus Bucks, and then you've got Mavericks versus Clippers. Your predictions quickly. We'll start with Timberwolves versus the Suns. I picked the Suns. Who do you guys have in game two in that one?
Suns. I redemption from the Suns. Like, we see it so often in the playoffs. A team gets blown out, they come back, win the next game.
Yeah. Okay. Trey?
I want the Suns to win. I want to see Bradley Beal actually get the shot, get more shots, because if Devin Booker's not shooting well, can we get Bradley Beal to shoot more? That's what we'll say.
Okay. So we're unanimously all on the Suns. And remember, guys, I did say, put that in a little bit, parlay, Suns and Devin Booker 30+. Okay, on to game two. Pacers and the Bucks. I picked the Bucks to go up 2-0. What do you guys got for this one?
Is Giannis back? He's not out.
Nah, so we missed the first two games at least.
I've got Pacers.
Okay.
Bucks. It wasn't much pace in the last game.
It took a huge Dame first half for them to win that game. So I don't see Dame replicating that. So I reckon Pacers will steal the second one.
All right.
They're going to triple team him again. Of course he's not going to replicate that.
Let everyone else beat you and see what they can do. Let's see if Middleton, Brook Lopez, and Porters can do it. And Beasley and Beverly too. But all right. So we've got a little bit of split there. And then the main event game, Mavericks versus Clippers. I picked the Mavericks, and I think the Mavericks, I picked them in a reverse blowout. I think they'll beat the Clippers by 10+. I think they'll come back. They'll come back and start this second game with the intensity that they showed in the second half, and I think they'll display it from minute one in game two. I got Mavericks to win game two.
Is Kawhi playing?
No, I don't think so.
I'll choose Dallas as well for this one.
Yeah, I'm on the Mavs too. We've seen how many times James Harden, game one James Harden, rest of the
But I will say, very concerning for the Mavericks if they don't win this game.
Yeah, 100%. But
exactly.
Fingers crossed they take care of business and they do their thing. But yeah, that's another one, another episode wrapped up. If you want to parlay that, like I said, we're trying to get a sponsor here. So any of the sports books, hey, come link up. We'll actually put a little parlay on this one. We will give, I think since we were a little bit unanimous there. So the parlay, the official parlay, we'll give the Suns money line. We'll get the Bucks money line, Mavericks money line, put that together, see what comes out. And we'll be back tomorrow to let you know if it cashed out. And if it does, boom, we'll all celebrate together. If it doesn't, we shall cry together like I was crying about the Lakers today.
Can we do a prop each too?
Yeah, you can do a prop each. My prop is Devin Booker 30+.
Well, I was going to say Bradley Beal 20+.
Oh, no, hey, you can pick it, man. You can pick it.
I'm going to go Bobby Portis 25+.
Oh, wow. That's a bold call. I like that. All right. We'll make sure we can. Anyone note it down? Anyone note that down?
Bro, you won't forget Bobby Portis 25+.
a guaranteed under is Halliburton.
Oh, yeah, 100%. So make sure you take those ones. But yeah, those are your tips there. Not financial advice, but it's just us having a little bit of fun. TAB, come sponsor us, or anyone else in Australasia, come sponsor us. But yeah, that's another episode of Dunk Dynasty Podcast. Like I said, in the playoffs, we're going to be here consistently providing you guys with good content. And again, make sure if you love listening to the podcast, share it with your friends, share it with your family, share it everywhere you want to. And keep in mind, guys, the giveaway is going to come out. It's going to be announced very soon. I would say today's the 23rd of April. Announcement will probably come on the 25th of April, how you guys can win a jersey in that giveaway. So make sure you stay tuned. And again, make sure to share the podcast on Spotify, you're on Apple Music, on Amazon Music, on Google Podcasts. Leave us a review, comment on our TikToks, comment on Facebook, Instagram, everywhere. Thanks again for the support. We really do appreciate it. And we shall see you on the next one. Outro music, do your thing. See you on the next one.